Welcome to the Broadcast Sport Podcast. My name is Jake Bickerton. I'm the Editorial Director of Broadcast Sport. This podcast series brings you exclusive interviews with sports content makers. Today's episode of the Broadcast Sport Podcast is with Mark Foster, who's a Chief Commercial Officer at England Netball. I'm going to be talking about their new rights deal with Sky Sports and the BBC as well, and see what benefits there are for both the broadcast side of things and for England Netball in terms of the audience reach and how England Netball plans to grow the sport over the coming years. Let's get cracking with looking at the current audience, which is on Sky Sports. And it'd be nice to know a little bit about, you know, how that audience engages with the content, why Sky has been a good partner for England Netball as well, and maybe a bit about the size of the audience as well. So, hi, Mark. There's a lot to land on you straight away, but yeah, over to you.
Hey, Jake. No problem. I think in terms of Sky Sports as a partner for England Netball and Netball Super League, then, you know, we're into our 18th year now of that partnership. I think the sport wouldn't be where it is now, and Super League wouldn't be where it is now if it wasn't for the support of Sky Sports. And that comes in both the investment that they make into the sport and to the league, and as well as the visibility and profile that they give it through the broadcast of the live games. And I think, you know, I'm only a year into my role at England Netball, but I've worked in sports for the last 20, 30 years. So kind of, I think that evolution that Sky's gone through in terms of the way it partners with sports, I think, you know, the Netball partnership is a fantastic one. It certainly is one that we are very grateful for and value very highly. Like I say, it not just for that investment that it brings in, but for the visibility and profile that it gives as well. I suppose for this rights cycle, you know, we're on the edge of professionalisation and our desire to relaunch Netball Super League next year. We needed broadcast partners in place that would allow us to do that and help us to do that and support us doing that. I think that world is full of so much disruption, as you will know, and how we navigate our way through that. I think having that Sky partnership is almost the solid foundation, if you like, on which we've built everything else out from there. I think what we know about that audience, it skews heavily female, as I guess you would expect. It is younger than a lot of other sports broadcast audiences, which is really interesting, and I think is interesting for the broadcasters that we talk to. And I think, interestingly, doesn't necessarily watch the games live all the time. And so I think in this new world where you can watch anything wherever you want, however you want, then I think that means we've got to be nimble, flexible, curious, willing to explore. And I think that's what our other partnerships, I'm sure we'll come on to the BBC partnership, but also our clips rights that we've been able to get, highlights rights in that social media world, they all open up the opportunity for us, I think, to test and learn a little bit. I think, you know, we need to be better at understanding our audiences, the data and insight that can be driven from this. And you know, again, as you'll know, if that's not on platforms that we own, then we're not always necessarily going to get that data and insight. So we have to work closely with the broadcast partners, but we're also venturing into the OTT space and our overseas rights for this Netball Super League. We'll go on to Netball Pass, which is a partnership we have with World Netball, as well as Australia and New Zealand. So the three major domestic leagues in the world, in ANZ, SSN and Netball Super League, will all be on that same platform. So I think that's right for the sport. It gives us the scale and the profile and the ability to understand that audience worldwide. And you know, if you put yourself in the position of the fans, I suppose they've got one place to go to rather than five or six different platforms that they're going to have to go to. And that's ultimately the desire. Because if we own that platform, we can get the data, we can get the insight, we can start to deliver even more of what people want.
Well, it's a lot going on in this space, isn't there, for you? A lot of changes. You know, from the UK fan base point of view, I suppose the BBC going free to air is a really interesting move. I'm presuming the Netball Pass platform, is that not available in the UK because of the rights deals with Sky and BBC?
Yeah, at the moment. So Sky get one game per week domestically in the UK. BBC then get one game per week domestically in the UK. And those two games, because they're getting produced, we can put them overseas. And that's what goes on to Netball Pass. I think as we start to explore, we've stated our ambition that every game of Netball Super League moving forwards will be broadcast on a platform. And I think that's where we may look to explore further with that Netball Pass and domestic games if Sky and BBC aren't taking them and the games don't clash and happen at the same time, then we may have the opportunity to put some of those domestically in the UK as well. But at the moment, if you're a UK viewer on Netball Pass, then you can watch SSN from Australia and ANZ from New Zealand, but you can watch any Super League games.
Getcha. Yeah, so because you've got that kind of mixture of the different games coming from different territories, there's going to be something for everyone in there at some point. Yeah, and is that how much is, you know, a subscription to Netball Pass, or is that yet to be worked out?
No, we've gone live with it this year. So start of the season, we put a season pass out, which is $39.95, and we're just about to launch a half season pass, which is $19.95. You can pay per round as well, which is $2.95. Right. So you get either the two games per round or half the games over a full season.
Excellent. And so the BBC weekly game, is that a one that would have been on Sky before?
I guess, yeah, if you were to take it literally, then last season Sky had more than one game. This season they just have the one game, and that second game goes on to the BBC. I think what we understood from our viewing figures was, you know, what we know about our audience is 3 million people play netball every year. It's the most played team sport by women in the UK. 850,000 play on a weekly basis. It's the third most played team sport out of men, women, boys and girls in the country. So as a participation base, we've got the numbers there. What we weren't and aren't quite converting at the moment is that into ticket sales and viewing figures. So what we wanted was a free-to-air offering as well as a pay TV offering. And to be fair to Sky, what they've also done is remove the paywall from their games, and so their games go onto YouTube. So our games now are free to air, and that gives us that exposure. And at the moment, that's been backed up. You know, we've got record viewing figures for this season at the moment, and some really healthy, good viewing figures that we know we just need to get out there. I think the World Cup last year, you know, all the stars align as you hope they do when it comes to a major international tournament. But the Vitality Rose is making it through to the final for the first time ever. The game's been on free to air as well as Sky. You know, we had 1.3 million people watch that final for the Roses. So it's there. It's absolutely there. We just need to produce more of that. We need to provide that content in the right way, on the right platforms, in an engaging way at the right times.
Yeah. And in terms of that production, are you doing anything different, or are you kind of always tweaking the way that the content's produced?
Yeah, we've taken production in-house, I guess, if you like, for the BBC games. So partnered up with EMG UK and In Touch Productions. So what that allows us to do is just have a little more influence over how the game is presented. So the talent that goes there. So we've used Jess Thirlby as head coach of the Roses as our co-coms and analyst on those, which starts to join up the fact we're England Netball, we look after the Roses, we clearly have that access to Jess, we take the production, we've got the BBC platform. Making the most of all of those things allows us to do that, as well as tell some of the stories that we would like to tell, and some of the things we put out at half time of the games, just talk about the wider reach of netball. And I think that, so there's that when it comes to the live coverage. And then what we're looking at is how live clips, highlights, a data asset management tool that, you know, again, we know the platforms that the clubs have, that our athletes have, are going to get us to more places than our own platforms will do. So the BBC is huge, Sky is huge, but I think as lots of sports are seeing, the biggest growing area is in the athletes and the clubs and their own platforms. And therefore, if we can make it as easy as possible for them to get that content and deliver it to them in an easy way, that they can get it out into their platforms, that's our desire moving forwards to really get into that space.
And is that something you might look at AI potentially to help produce as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the tools that are out there at the moment now are mind-blowing, you know. Mm. From someone who remembers what broadcast was 30 years ago and to what it is now is incredible. And when you look at some of the, you know, the AI allows us to put our live game into a platform. It can tag every player by a facial recognition, every sponsor, every game, every section of that game as to what it is via the algorithm and what it learns. And, you know, the number of people hours that then takes away for us, and the speed, because, you know, ultimately a clip is great, but if it's then 5 hours after a game has finished, then it's probably been already clipped up by somebody else who's put it out there, and we've lost that opportunity. So yeah, absolutely, it's a space that we're looking at and really want to get into.
Yeah, it is incredible how quickly it can happen, isn't it, with that, you know, almost instantaneous. It's, yeah, and the opportunities are definitely there. And as you say, with these athletes having such a big following on social anyway, it makes sense to give them the content quickly that they can utilize, and it benefits everyone, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it gives us the quality control in it all as well. And, you know, that uniformity, we've put in things for this season that, you know, again, to make it easy for our clubs when it comes to team announcements, when it comes to the score every end of every quarter, just to give us that uniform look and feel, but with the personalization for each club. That means as you're scrolling through your social media feeds, we look and feel the same across all those platforms, because I think it's important to be personalized in it all and give each club and athlete their own bit to it. But if we look completely different, and as people are scrolling through those feeds, they don't join the dots up, and we don't get that scale that we need. So it's all those sort of things that we're looking to build on.
And with you producing with you and EMG producing the content for BBC and Sky producing the content, is there a danger there that the kind of opposite to what you've just described might happen in terms of look and feel of the two different broadcasters?
Yeah, I think, you know, we said before, the disruption that's happening in the broadcast world means there will be lots of platforms that carry our content. I think the key is to building the partnerships, building the relationships, and making sure we're constantly talking and working. And ultimately, then that builds efficiencies in as well, because, you know, what we need to do, what BBC needs to do, what Sky needs to do, players, athletes, clubs need to do, is all going to be reasonably similar. And in a world where we're all fighting for relevance and space and people to engage with our content, and we talked about it then, the speed of being able to get out there, it just doesn't make sense that something's take highlights from a game is being produced by each club, by the broadcaster, by us. If one person can do that and share it amongst everybody, it makes sense. And I think by doing things like that, it helps to bring a consistent look and feel and consistent quality to what we're doing. We're not there yet, but we're working hard at it. And I think back to the very start of the conversation, I think what is most valuable to us is some really good broadcast partnerships where people are prepared to work with us on those things.
And the highlights rights that you mentioned at the start as well, are you using those for Netball Pass, or is the highlights going out to, again, to Sky and BBC in the UK?
The highlights don't go on to Netball Pass at the moment. Highlights, basically, we carve them out slightly differently for this. Ultimately, again, there's a certain number of minutes we can have from the end of the game, certain number of minutes we can have from midnight after the game, but they are available for our own platforms, for the broadcasters' platforms, and for the club's own platforms as well. So they can go on to all of those different areas. I guess at the moment, we have the resource challenge that not every game is being broadcast, therefore not every game has highlights created. But again, back to the data and insight, and certainly when we talk with the broadcasters, the value to our audience of highlights is debatable at the moment. And I think but live clips, clipping up things like play of the week that can then go onto social, that fans can vote on which one it is. Those sort of engagement, I think, are much more interesting to us when it comes to how we might deepen our engagement with our audience moving forwards and ultimately create assets that can be commercially attractive to partners outside of just the broadcasters in this. And I think, you know, I always look towards American sports and what they do. And, you know, they're all over that space. And I think that, again, if we've got the asset of the live game, the ability to live clip it and then segment those clips, then, and I think we can be creative in what we do and not just do the traditional, well, let's put out 3 minutes of highlights because we think that's what people want, because actually our data doesn't show that that is what people want at the moment. But it's absolutely one of the key drivers for how we can bring a new audience in, that if they see that play of the week going out on social, they take an interest in it, they engage in it. I look at my 11-year-old daughter, she has most interest in netball because of what she sees the players doing on TikTok than sitting watching a live game for 60 minutes, you know, and that's what we've got to understand to drive people to where we want to get to.
And that knowledge of the players and, you know, that kind of TikTok generation sort of feeling like they're getting to know the players a lot more than before. Are you elevating that with any of kind of your produced documentary content around players to try and, you know, make them better known as well?
Yes, it's certainly part of our plans. Are we running or filming a documentary right now? No, but are we speaking to various different partners to see if we could do? Yes. And I think back to that relaunch of Super League in 25, then the work's already started on that. And I think that's going to be an incredible story to tell. And if we can document that and put it out there, you know, everybody wants their Drive to Survive equivalent, don't they? But, you know, I think we have amazing stories to tell. I think our athletes have incredible stories to tell. And we just need to tell them in the right way, in an engaging way, and put them on the right platform. So, yeah, absolutely. Outside of just the live 60 minutes and the clips and the highlights that come from that, the off court and the telling of the personalities and the creating superheroes is a big part of our strategy.
One more question, and it goes back to AI again. With your having this new platform, the Netball Pass, you know, kind of D2C offering, would you look potentially to use AI for even the production of the content, you know, with a central camera or something like that, you know, for some of those games you're not currently televising?
Yeah, they're conversations I've had. And again, that world is developing so quickly and it's mind-blowing, but you know, they can, like exactly as you say, you can fix a camera and nobody else does anything. You just press a button and it records it. It will create the replays for you. It will create the graphics and the captions that you want. It will live clip things up for you and do all of that. I think that my limited understanding of it all is clearly those algorithms need to develop, and they need to develop from understanding the sport. And they do that by the more that they film the sport, the more that there's live data going into those that just improves those algorithms. And I think that whilst a sport like football might be in a place where that all works reasonably well, there's still a little bit of work to be done in something like netball. But some of the people I'm speaking to will tell you, no, look, it's ready to go now. And I think what we have to do is explore some of these, push some of the boundaries, and I think absolutely be some of the first in things. I think if we become the third or fourth sport to start doing them, then it either one, we don't create the headlines, or two, we can't afford what those people are doing. But if people at the start need a case study and want to build that case study with us, then it becomes affordable for us. But I think our beauty is we, you know, from our governance models and our ambition and the fact that we are one organization rather than some sports where you're four or five different organizations that you need to get agreement with, is that's not always. We can be pretty quick moving. We can be adventurous. We can be creative and push some boundaries. So yeah, some interesting conversations going on in that space as well.
Fantastic. So much, Mark. Good luck over the next year ahead. And it all sounds really good.
Well, see you later. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Broadcast Sport Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe, and we'll see you soon for the next episode.